Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
What's good, internet? Happy holidays from all of us here at Waypoint as we kick off our, I don't know if we have a name for it, a holiday bonanza, a podcast palooza,
yeah,
a jolly old time.
You want that alliteration for sure. That's why it's a jolly old holidays, right? You know?
Definitely. I prefer to think of it as just a big 101 Dalmatians party. That's kind of how I'm...
It's not going to make sense to anyone.
No.
Kind of just sneak that bit down on the at like the end of the last podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just make that the
wow. Gotcha. All right.
Light work. As you can hear, the voices of Waypoint are here. I'm Austin Walker. I am joined today by Gita Jackson.
Yo, what's up?
Patrick Klepek.
I'm putting that on my non-existent business card. Voice of Waypoint.
Voice of Waypoint. Ricardo Contreras.
Voice of a generation.
And
who are you, Lena Dunham?
Fuck.
Come on.
Brutal. And Rob Zachney.
Good morning.
Hi. This is the first of the holiday episodes that we have recorded. We don't know the schedule for when these will come out. So it's the day that it is, and I hope you're having a good one. Today's episode is Holiday Hot Takes. We asked you to prime us with a number of questions that we could have a quick hot take for. Quick and hot. Quick
like
and ready.
We're having our first coffee of the day with some hot takes to get
with
us
some
into
hot
the
takes
spirit
on the side.
Because wherever this comes out, this is the first podcast we're recording at 8 a.m. my time, 9 a.m. everyone else. And
it's too
we're
early.
Recording all day. So this is like to try and like get us limber and, you know, it's like a burpees,
la, la,
45
la,
minutes,
la,
101
la,
Dalmatians, and then a bunch of hot takes.
Right. Exactly. We're doing, exactly. Patrick, how did this work last time? You were the hot take king, I believe, last time.
That's what they call me.
The hot take
call you that.
On the internet. I believe the format was, and we got 90 seconds. We could extend it to 2 minutes because it's earlier. Give us a little more time for our brains to move around. And then, so we'll need Kato to set a timer.
Our skulls.
Unfortunately, like we had like the fun soundboard stuff
when we
were all crammed in a it makes me uncomfortable to think about us being crammed in that room last year, which is fine. It was we made it work, but just a COVID year later,
retroactively
too close together.
When I think about that environment, it's not great.
That was
I don't want to say it was a mistake.
Wait, didn't I figure out a way to play y'all?
There wasn't
music?
COVID then, but if there was COVID then, you'd all be fucked.
We would have been. And yes, Kata, you did figure out a way to play various sound cues last year. We don't have that set up this year. It's okay.
What was that? What was
the hot take king just left.
Oh, God.
We lose
the hot take king will return, okay? He was always here.
Hot take king will return.
He will go to the house
of
the healing.
King.
Yeah. Hot take king, colon, will continue.
God.
Your Majesty, all my takes have counterintuitive neoliberal conclusions. Let me lay my hands on them.
God. Miserable. Are we waiting? Is he back? He's back. The king is back.
Our washer is probably broken and I'm going to have to buy a new one. Someone's coming
sucks.
To look at it. So
I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, especially
because
I replaced my dryer earlier this year. And
God
was like,
damn it.
Should I buy a combo? Or
and you were like,
old.
Nah,
like
it's fine.
We've been
this is why you don't buy
for the
combo in some ways.
Huh?
I don't know. I mean, like, so you mean like combo, like it's a one unified set?
No. Okay. They like knock off $300 if they're like buy this expensive shit together, and instead I'm gonna buy them 6 months apart and just pay full price for both of them.
Mm. Yeah,
that's capitalism, baby.
There it is. All right, Patrick, how did this work last time? We have 2 minutes, and we have Kato with something to make noise. Sure. When that 2 minutes is up?
We need some sort of Kato. I don't know how we want to handle the noise. Could you want to hold your phone up to your microphone?
I can do that.
Wah, wah.
Yeah, just go wah,
we
wah,
need
wah.
A sound, though. What's the sound?
I remember sound what it was last year, but we should find a new one. The sound of 2020. What's the sound? I don't want to know. No. This year is nothing but bad.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to hear the sound of
I don't
want to
hear. Don't put that in my ears. Let's not do this to these people. Do we want to get
about
into
that
it?
Mass Effect trailer? Give me a Reaper sound.
That sound was good. When that sound played, I was like, "Yeah, it's Mass Effect."
Yeah, that gave me chills. I was like, "Oh, I'm excited!" Now I'm excited for a game through nostalgia. I like that Reaper noise. Wow!
I completely missed Mass Effect as a cultural moment. I was just out of college and I was broke.
Yeah,
it just fucking sucks. Because I look at my friends and they're all becoming the Joker over this, and I wish I was the Joker too.
Everyone just wants to return to their partner, Garrus Vakarian.
You can do it. When that remaster comes out, you too can become Joker-fied.
It's true.
In a really fast
I think
fashion.
That game is going to hit so different in 2020 than it did then, especially the sequels as you're, like, palling it up with, like, eugenicist scientist, Warden Solis, who, like...
I interviewed someone who, like, was already obviously anti-eugenics, but, like, really firmed up their position on the absolute unacceptability of eugenicists and eugenic thought, like, because of that game, which was a very cool interview.
That game's position on it is it's fucking bad long term, but also...
You know.
But also, you know...
Cost-benefit analysis.
Yeah.
People, just like economics.
Morden saw a problem. He thought he had a good solution. It wasn't. It broke bad.
It broke very bad. All right, we should get into these. Kato, do you have 2 minutes on the clock?
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to do the first one? Right here. I'm going to jump into it.
Yeah,
we have a document in front of us.
Yeah, it's all right. Like jumping into cold water. Like, feet in. Don't even look.
It's linked in the Slack.
All right.
Lucas writes in and says, what game should have never been part of a series? For instance, Street Fighter 3 was supposed to be completely separate from the Street Fighter series and only reluctantly included Ryu and Ken. If it hadn't had the same name, it'd be a Melty Blood-esque success where it's niche but important. So what? There's a second part of this question in which Lucas argued that Final Fantasy VIII shouldn't have been a Final Fantasy game. Allowed to stay. No. He was saying it would be loved now because it wouldn't have been overshadowed by Final Fantasy VII.
That might be true because Final Fantasy VIII is really good and interesting. That's a very good reason to have something not be a part of a series too. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's not the angry one.
But then it's like Final Fantasy VIII, even if it was beloved, if it was like just, I don't know, is it better for it to be like concentrated hate because it's Final Fantasy VIII, or to be like overlooked beloved cult thing where it's like I don't know, you know, choose your random words that Square Enix assigns to its non-Final Fantasy projects.
Right.
I have my hot take.
What
Assassin's Creed Freedom Cry
should have been its own
game, Freedom Cry, where you just free slaves. That would rock.
Outside of no Templars, no assassins, you're just out here.
Just like you're just a dude from Haiti freeing slaves. I would love that.
That sounds good.
Evan Narcissus, what's up? Let's get it.
Let's go. Yeah. God. Does anyone else have one?
It's hard to think about games that came out in a series right now at this time.
It's so early in the morning. It's so early in the morning.
Video games.
I literally just had to think of names of video games in order to remember which ones are part of a series. Yeah. I was like, Final Fantasy said that.
You know, like a lot of the outliers, like, you know, if we're using like Final Fantasy VIII as a template, it's like Majora's Mask, right? Like or even Wind Waker. Like Zelda has a couple of these where they're really good Zelda games, but because like you have series which have a template. And then when it goes outside the template, even though it's not like Majora's Mask really breaks the template, but still has like dungeons and stuff.
Yeah.
Like you wonder, it's just interesting to wonder what the reception, like I think what he's proposing is something a little bit different. Like I don't think Zelda was imposed upon Majora's Mask. That was just organically came out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But like you do wonder like what would people thought about it if it didn't have But maybe those things don't exist without that name, right?
That was Kata.
Excuse me? What
was that?
What was that?
It says Reaper Horn.
That sounded like just a fart. It just sounded like you're making a fart noise with your mouth, Kata.
That's a fart.
You know what? I picked up a lot of dildos to upgrade my crafting in Cyberpunk last night, and it sounds a lot closer to what was going on in that game.
You picked up a bunch of dildos to upgrade your crafting?
You just
recycle the material from dildos?
I don't know. You get access to like 9,000 skill sets.
If you know, he's getting better at it, though, is the thing. As he's doing it, I'm like, oh, that is kind of mechanical now. Yeah.
He's added a layer. We got to keep moving here.
Yep.
Rob, can you read the next one? Are you in this document yet? You're not. Patrick,
I'll read the next
one. This is a real Patrick Klepek one.
This comes from, are we reading that like the names that go with it?
Just the name, yeah.
Okay, all right. So Mick says, if you made ice cubes from decent whiskey and put it in Kirkland whiskey, does that improve the Kirkland whiskey or make it worse? Oh, make it worse.
I just don't think alcohol works this way. Like I haven't had a drink in 2 years, and I don't think like this is like how alcohol behaves as a liquid.
Well, you have to, coming at it from two angles. One is that if you have cheap stuff, then it might taste great, and you're looking to sort of like subdue the taste to some degree. Or if you're trying to slow how fast you're drinking, which is often a reason to put in ice cubes, it just sort of like make you, you're sipping it longer. I got no problems with Kirkland whiskey.
I think Guy is completely correct though.
Freeze whiskey, number work. One. Yeah, that's just not gonna happen.
Yeah. Number two, you can't freeze alcohol, right?
What's the freezing point?
Do you have access to a lab?
Like are you taking this Kelvin?
Yes. Negative 114 Celsius.
Wow. Dry ice up in here to melt, to freeze some whiskey.
Dangerous.
Coffee ice cubes. You've just degraded the liquid you've made into an ice cube. So you're just bringing a good whiskey down to the level of a Kirkland whiskey.
Are you putting this into something else, or are you enjoying the ice cubes on its own?
Putting it into
It would hurt your face to put something this cold on it.
Kato's deeply concerned.
You let it warm up a little bit.
Then it becomes whiskey again.
Once it's at minus 50 Celsius, that's the sweet spot.
Then you're good.
Where that flavor will really open up. You know, if there's anything they said about whiskey, the flavor opens up the colder it is.
I know what to do. You just drink it with a straw. That way the ice doesn't touch your lips.
Oh my God. Right. That's it.
I think we solved
just
it.
Just sip it. Yeah,
put it in a sippy cup. Next question.
Next question. Gita, do you want this one?
Yes, I do. From Evan, what holiday beverage is best? Mulled wine, eggnog, cider, peppermint tea, schnapps, gravy, etc. Who's out here drinking gravy? Evan.
Is that a thing?
Evan, don't do this
to me. Is
that
a troll?
I think they
were doing a bit. I hope they were doing a bit.
Gravy's but I a think drink. They were doing a now bit. I'm looking.
I just now I'm concerned about other people.
What if you made an ice cube out of gravy?
Yeah. Gravy cube.
Oh my God.
They make those. Gravy cube? Yeah, it's bouillon.
God, that's molecular gastronomy.
Is it, Kato?
It's not an ice cube.
Yeah, no, Kato, in this scenario, you're giving the food experiment a little more credit than what we're going for. I'm thinking, you know, you're at Christmas and you've just found some leftover, like one of those leftover gravy packets. You make that thing, and then you just freeze
Sculpt
it up.
It down.
Oh. Freeze it up.
Make a little gravy in your soup when you need to cool it down. The best seasonal beverage is hot cider. Otherwise, eggnog, but I can't have eggnog anymore because I'm lactose intolerant.
No. I think we've had the eggnog conversation before.
We have.
Because I don't like eggnog at all. And I know there was some real eggnog.
I'm with this. Patrick and I are you know, anti-nog. Together on this. We're anti-nog.
I'm firmly.
Yeah. And this is, yeah, I remember this. Yeah, was, I remember that. Like, it's all coming
this
back
is a
to
predictable
me now.
Split, honestly. Yes.
I could have pictured this. The three, me, Kato, Rob, pro-nog. Yeah, this makes sense to me.
You know, I would love is a hot toddy. That's a good wintry drink. It's not really a holiday drink, but it's a wintry drink.
Oh, absolutely. I feel like any drink that you drink from October to like January, that counts as a wintry drink.
Pumpkin
you know, like
spice
a seasonal
lattes.
Holiday drink. Yeah.
The
yeah.
best holiday drink.
When I was growing up, during Halloween, when we go trick-or-treating, my family would make cider and they wouldn't let any of the kids have it. And I never understood it until later they then revealed to me, we were putting alcohol in it, you dumbass. Like, oh. Well, that all makes a little more sense. Well,
yeah.
So every time you looking back on when my older brother's friend told me that they were going to go burn incense in his room.
Cool. Wow. Yeah. It must be cool to be an older brother.
Really into candles.
It must be cool to be an older brother.
What I loved is the concept of that is you buying him thinking I'm going to get you like a nice gift.
I know how much you love it.
My mom absolutely has done this.
That's perfect. 100%.
God. It, like, my mom, this is not a holiday hot take. I'll save it. It's a good story.
Okay. Who wants this one? Rob, have you highlighted this one?
I believe, sure. Yeah.
I just highlight instinctively. Like, I don't care about it.
Okay. Well, you go ahead and read this one.
Alec asks, soup or salad forever? No further information may be imputed to the question.
Soup.
Never a salad again?
Yeah.
I mean, salad's good, but I'll fucking eat a soup
Is this the side to your, like, you're getting a side soup or a side salad forever?
Anything.
No further information may be imputed to the question.
That's fair. All right.
We're going to do it anyway. I think you have to count all soups and all forever. Soup or salad forever.
There's so many different kinds of soup with so many different textures and flavors and temperatures. And the thing, salad is just a pile of leaves no matter what.
No, it's not.
It's not just a pile of leaves. It's not. Some salads don't have any leaves.
I was going to say, you can put a lot of things into a salad. Like, you got noodles. So, like, this
you're salad. Hold on. You're including, like, potato salad in this shit.
100%.
Wow. Fuck.
But also, like, it's summertime. Yeah. It's tomatoes are in season. I've got these beautiful heirlooms, and I've chopped them up with some baguette. I made you a panzanella salad with the basil in my garden.
Oh, would
you
like some? Barefoot That's Contessa? Not a pile of shit. That's
delicious. I eat a lot of soup. I love soup.
It's so good. It makes you feel all warm and comforted.
And it's winter right now.
Yeah. I made an excellent Yukon Gold potato soup with a black olive caviar. It's very delicious. And I made it twice.
You're selling me a soup. All right, I'm gonna go soup.
Soup.
Rob, I respect and understand you.
I like salads a lot, though.
They are good.
Like, I know what I should pick, which is salad, but I'm gonna pick soup.
Soup. Kato, can you hit the next one?
Kaya sends in, has motion blur ever been good?
I don't mind it. I know people care a lot about motion blur and say it bothers them.
It feels...
I've never minded it.
It feels, oh my God, when done well, like...
Which it almost never is.
Yes, that's the real issue with it, is that it never is done well. It feels like my brain doesn't notice it, right? I've been trained by watching film for motion blur to be the thing that is there, right?
Yeah, but this is exactly the issue that I have.
The issue is that it's never done well. It always ends up like blurring too much or unblurring too quickly or blurring at the wrong times, right? Like, it never feels the way that film natural motion blur because of, you know.
I feel the same way about fake lens flares in games. Like, it's always too obvious and it never looks like it's the light from the sun refracting off of the lens of a camera. I know people do like this. I hate it when there's blood splatter on the screen because it's just like. Yes.
I have one good example of motion blur, which is comics use motion blur to great effect.
Yes.
Which I don't know if we count that as motion blur, but that's what's happening there.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Sure.
I think that's what I meant when I said I don't mind it. Was I was thinking about its use in non-game things, and I was like, motion blur is just an animation effect.
Yeah, exactly, right?
There's a cat on my windowsill that's screaming at me right now.
I'm sorry.
Your cat? Or is it
the other cat.
The other cat has hot takes about motion blur. Yeah. I wonder if the other cat has hot takes about this from Kyle. Does the war elephant taken down by Legolas in Return of the King actually only count as one kill, like Gimli says, or is it more than one? Also, my buzzer just rang, so I have to go. So this is your hot take. Bye.
All right, so I have a thought.
Gimli
if
was
memory
right.
serves... Legolas kills the entire crew of the elephant. So it's like a tank. Yeah. He basically wipes out all the orcs on it and then takes down the elephant. That is my recollection of this. And so I think him like inflating the kill count is fair because he took out an elephant and like 50 orcs.
Doesn't he also count those orcs along the way, though? He's counting on the way. This is the thing. It's like not... Is the war elephant doesn't count as more than one on its own. Only if you're doing that whole count together.
Like, yeah, like Legolas
when you're
can
in an
count.
RTS, you're just killing one unit.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. The elephant is one unit. Legolas also is directly responsible for the deaths of the people that were on the elephant. So sure, those all also count additionally. But the elephant is one unit. I feel like this is a very strategy game.
Yeah.
Head
I think
question.
We all agree. He did a great job, but I think Gimli is correct. It is a single kill.
Team Gimli.
Yeah.
Legolas, he did a great job. We all sound like Stephen A. Smith right now. I just have to say it.
You cannot deny.
Did a great job, but.
Yeah. Gideon, you want to get this next one?
Yeah, hell yeah. Why not? Favorite fast food chain that you can't find locally? In-N-Out Burger. In-N-Out Burger. In-N-Out Burger. That's mine.
That's good. A good one. That might be mine, so too.
It used to be In-N-Out Burger for me, but then the Midwest has begun copying In-N-Out Burger to a strong... Like, so you have your Shake Shacks and other places that are basically... Yeah. I mean, at that point, you're just it's just what's your different, like, higher quality, like really fast burger?
Well, hold Shake on. Shack you seem to imply that you're under the impression that Shake Shack and In-N-Out Burger are interchangeable.
Shake Shack is bougie
I'm just saying it's the sort of thing that, absent the existence of one of those, it scratches the itch just as fine. I can't get an In-N-Out Burger, but if I get a Shake Shack, in like my lizard brain, it's like, cool, like you got as close as you can get. It's good enough for what's in front of you.
You got a fancy burger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The taste there profile is different. Sorry. No, I'm with you, Rob. Go ahead.
I'm not disagreeing.
There is no White Castle anywhere near me.
Wow.
Well, you don't like the frozen ones? I tried that once.
They're okay. They're fine. But the thing is, like, the buns are bad. Hell.
Yeah.
Like, buying the frozen ones, it's like they're charging wild prices.
Yeah, you should not be paying more than $1 than any for any White Castle product. That's my feeling.
Right.
What do they call when you get, like, 32? It's like a crate or something like that?
Crave case.
Crave case. Crave case. Thank you.
Comes in a suitcase. Like you're the Blues Brothers, but for food.
But for food.
The only thing I don't like about In-N-Out is they do not really have a good veggie burger option. It tastes really good to get it animal-style, like, grilled cheese. But,
ooh.
You know.
That sounds good.
It's still really good without the patty, but I just wish they had, like, a veggie patty.
That makes sense.
Is animal style just a way to get people who don't think they like chili to enjoy the joys of chili?
I think so.
I think I've always thought of it as like a thing to be like, hey, you want to feel like you're like on the in with this place. Like, you know secrets, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
It's all like, right. Yeah.
No, sorry. What were you going
to
say?
Oh, no. At Taco Bell, you can change the protein on any burrito or taco or anything they have. So you can go and just be like, I want a cheesy gordita crunch. But give me potatoes instead of...
They got rid of potatoes, didn't they? Isn't that like a thing that happened?
Oh, right, they got rid of potatoes. I usually get black beans or the beans instead.
Right.
Rid of potatoes?
Rob just had a moment.
They've eliminated potatoes.
Destroyed potatoes.
They eliminated potatoes, yeah. They slashed potatoes from the menu. Because a lot of my vegetarian friends were pissed about this for the reason Gita just said.
Yeah.
Which is it's a great option for like a filling, you know, meal there for vegetarians.
Why did they do that?
I don't know.
Because they wanted to get you personally upset. They were like, we want Rob Zachney to eat
fuck
your
off
less.
Rob.
Yeah, fuck Rob.
There are easier ways to do that.
I bet it's automated. Why did Taco Bell and then immediately potato get rid of potatoes? All right, tell me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll research this, but go on with the show.
That was that really Reaper? Good. That was great. That was Reaper.
That's a different Reaper.
I recognize that immediately.
Okay. Gotcha. Can we get Patrick? I don't know who read one when I was gone. I don't know
Rob
who
read one. Yeah.
I'll go. Okay. Grace writes, what are stories or franchises or the like that deeply frustrate you, but you find yourself keeping, returning to them anyway? Star Wars and Kingdom Hearts are this for me. Well, definitely. Yeah. So you have Star Wars. You're shooting an arrow at a lot of people. On this podcast.
Literally yesterday, they announced that Hayden Christensen is being Darth Vader again. So yes, exactly. Yes.
I'm so funny.
Star Wars is back, baby.
I had a chat blow up
to a degree that it might have been, you know, it should have been 13-year-olds like in the Discord together when that news.
It just,
I wish I had a camera on Brad Shoemaker's face.
Maddie Myers.
Wish I did.
Like, just, and I immediately just had this moment that was like, we're cursed. We can't ever leave this stupid fucking franchise that's awful.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited for that fucking show. It's going to be so good. And bad, maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. My friend Raven posted a picture from a novelization of the last book that where they just talk about they're doing a fight and Obi-Wan reaches out to touch his face and mouths, "Well done." And I just was like, this show is going to emotionally destroy me. I don't know if I can handle it.
Oh, yeah. God. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Is there anything else that pains me, and yet I return to it?
Oh, like, I will watch anything in the Aliens franchise, despite it should have arguably stopping at the first one. I love Aliens, but like, if the consequence of that was a lot more of them, then maybe like Alien, like being like a masterpiece was enough. And yet yesterday, Noah Hawley, who's kind of gone off the rails a little bit with some of, like, he's up and down, but I'm still up on him as a creator.
He at least makes television that is really interesting and thought-provoking, even if it's not successful. And there's not a lot of television that finds that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So him being on Alien is, look, I don't know if it'll be good, but it'll be a take. Like, it won't be,
right,
you know, formulaic bullshit. Like, he's talked about it, like, a year ago, saying, hey, I want to do, like, what's happening at like Weyland-Yutani? Like do like a corporate thriller that just happens to be like maybe sort of you'll understand why they went to the planet. And it's like, sure. Oh,
fucking God, yeah.
Great. Yeah. That sounds like really interesting.
God, what was that show that we watched, Rob, for Waypoints, the Amazon original with the what the fuck is it called? Why am I forgetting? It's based on the
Mr. Robot showrunner.
Homecoming.
Yeah. Homecoming. Thank you. Homecoming.
Yeah, I watched that too, actually. Yeah, I liked that.
I liked it too, but like I would love that, like that sort of in Homecoming season 2. There's a lot of that like backroom dealing shit happening at that corporation, and that. But Weyland-Yutani would slap.
Oh,
also,
God.
they should get Janelle Monáe for it because she's good. Also, one more answer.
Sarsgaard is going to show up in this one.
Oh, good question. I have one more answer. Frustrating favorites: the Philadelphia Eagles. Okay,
there you
let's keep going.
Damn. It's Hurts time, baby.
I got this one.
Thank you.
From Jack, have fan wikis made games more or less accessible? And from personal experience, I will say more, because I feel like when I was not able to play games before I started making the big bucks, I don't make the big bucks. I make under $70,000 a year in New York City. It's
video game journalists.
Before I started making money, like before I had like discretionary income, I would watch Let's Plays and then read fan wikis to try to just really get into the lore. Silent Hill was that for me a lot. But also fan wikis give you the great joy of like reading the entry on the Assassin's Creed wiki for Karl Marx. Just like, I think there are just a net positive in the world because I get to do that.
That's fair. I don't think it's hit that point yet where I feel like games are being designed expecting you necessarily. And we've talked about this with Dark Souls before in terms of the way that community has built that stuff, but like I haven't ever felt it where I feel like I hate that how much I have to rely on this thing. So maybe to the degree that has happened, I'm still enjoying it. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if I feel like it's been it more or less, but it like fan wikis fill the same vacuum of, you know, when I come home from a movie, I want to go read a message board thread about like what I saw, just because I just want to see people talking about the thing that I'm thinking about.
Yeah.
So that's often what fan wikis are for me. Like, or you know, the existence of a fan wiki is like, well, let us like talk about the Ace Combat
Strange Real.
Strange Real. Like I love specifically reading fan interpretations that are trying to come across as canon.
Yeah.
Is like deeply enjoyable to me when you can like pick apart, which is, you know, trying to sound authoritative when you're clearly connecting the dots on your own. I'm pro fan wikis, but I was a Game Facts kid, so I'm always going to be on that side.
I'm gonna throw this out here though. I think there is a dimension in which they have made games a little bit less accessible, and that is, I think they do foster this idea. And I think games lean into it then, and this is where it becomes kind of a circular loop. They do foster this idea that, like, the lore is the stuff you should know, and that increasingly a work in front of you doesn't stand on its own. It has to plug into this broader history.
I completely agree there, especially when game wikis really sort of fetishize the lore to the extent that any interpretation of the story that is done from outside sources or your own personal experiences are not considered valid because there is a canon reading of the game. I think Toby Fox's game, but I just completely forgot the name.
Yes, Undertale is the one for me, 100%.
Yeah,
that like the is cataloging.
Yeah.
The way also like the impulse to catalog every little interaction bums me out, but that's a different thing than.
Yeah. I love fanwikis that collect all voice lines just for like posterity and archival purposes.
Yes. Yeah, that sounds great.
Yes. I love that I can look up random lines from like, I think I remember this. Like, didn't somebody say this line in like System Shock 2? And like the fucking audio log will be there on the WAV file and I can listen to it. And I'm like, that's the shit.
We love it when the thing is for us, and we don't like it when the thing is not for
Bingo.
Us.
Bingo.
Yeah, nailed exactly. It.
If people play would stop being noise. Fans the wrong
we
way,
I already
the
did.
Fan wiki scene would be unalloyed.
We just got to play it louder, Connor.
We stepped over.
Back.
Okay. Andrew writes in and with a good question. Would you rather go on holiday in the winter or holiday in the summer? If so, where?
Shit. Ooh.
What is a holiday?
Yeah, couldn't be me.
Is it traveling money?
Yeah, time.
I would go on holiday places? In the summer, though, to somewhere cool. Like, literally, I would be like, I hate the heat. Where is it milder
holiday in the
right
summer
now?
To the south of France. Just to put me on a fucking beach. I will be there.
That sounds cool. I've been thinking about Iceland lately.
Ooh. Oh, Iceland's
good.
Sick.
You go watch my video. Iceland's great.
Yeah, I've seen that video. Not recently, but.
Yeah, my old roommate.
About it. I don't know. Iceland seems cool.
My old roommate went to Iceland, and the trip was an interpersonal disaster, but it seemed very nice. They saw a big geyser. Ooh. That was cool.
Nice. I hear there's cool hot springs. I hear that, like, the culture is nice. I don't know.
She said it's a country of completely young people, mostly young people, which means that there's a very good nightlife and a very good, like, queer nightlife.
Cool.
Yeah.
To me, this is two very different holidays, right? Winter holiday is absolutely the, like, you're not going anywhere. You're just going to fucking veg and whatever you're staying. And the summer is like,
you could still.
Or these holidays are like, you're going back home to see family. Is that a vacation?
No, that's work.
No, the holiday.
Yeah, no, I haven't, like, my big vacation's been winter vacation. Every year that just gets, like, I admit, like, it breaks my heart that I can't see my family this year. It does. But also,
this is, like, the first time
Rob's getting a holiday by not going on a holiday.
Rob's going to get cold this year.
But no. I feel like this is...
My ideal holiday, really, though, would be, like, a cabin in the middle of the woods in the snow with, like, a bunch of my friends, and we all do mushrooms.
Did that once. That sounds not nice. The mushrooms part. It remains the greatest vacation of my life, so...
We did recommend it.
I understood. I definitely understood this as holidays. I was going to say, I definitely understood this as holiday in the like British sense of like vacation, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Alice asks, is Santa Claus a gamer?
Comma.
Yeah.
He's got to be aware, right?
Yeah.
At least dad reading up on what, you know,
he's
a gamer, into. But he's a gamer in the way that most people are. You know, Santa Claus plays
like
Among
a
Us.
3?
You know, right. he plays
Among Us. He plays Candy Crush.
He plays
Crush.
Animal Crossing. He plays all the, he plays the games that your friends who do not read gaming websites and listen to gaming podcasts play.
What's the one thing, though, that he... Because, like, a lot of my friends who are like that have one fucking weird thing from, like, the PS2 era where they, like... I really love Rule of Rose. Do you ever play Rule of Rose?
He's a Dwarf Fortress guy.
He plays a disturbingly modded Dwarf Fortress.
Yes.
Wait, disturbing how?
Like the Mario mod for Dwarf Fortress, where there's Koopas and Mushroom guys running around.
God.
And he has a brutally hegemonic and like basically fascist kingdom because he's so into the resource management aspect.
And there's some sex stuff going on that he doesn't want to talk about, but you know it's happening.
It's happening. Shout out to Corny Santa, I guess.
Mm. He's uploading mods.
Oh my God, yesterday.
Like, elf behavior made weirder.
Yeah, a couple days ago, David was just looking up like minor league baseball teams, and he looked one up, like their local news site, and the top headline that day was Mrs. Claus has COVID, will not be making an appearance.
Damn, poor Mrs. Claus. I hope she's all right.
Rest up, Mrs. Claus.
Yeah,
hope get you well make soon. It. You're probably over 70, so fingers crossed.
We're pulling for you. God. Kato, you want to take this next one?
Sheldon,
I've completely lost our order, by the way, so I'm sorry if I'm repeating people.
No problem. Sheldon writes in, ham or turkey? Is that better than? Greater than.
No,
ham,
this is greater
ham,
than.
Ham is better than. Yeah,
Sheldon, some people wrote it with their own hot takes.
Disgust. Yeah. I agree.
The argument that Sheldon makes is that Thanksgiving is too close to Christmas to double dip on turkey.
I haven't eaten meat in a very long time, but fuck to a turkey.
Ham is good.
Ham is bad.
It is
at the bottom. Okay. It's just like, if I never ate ham again, like, great. Like, my life has improved marginally.
We gotta fix this, man.
I like turkey. Like, I don't even know you right now, dude.
I have told this story. I've told the story before. I don't know if I've told it here, but this is kind of, I think, what turned my relationship with ham. When I met MK, her father was sort of in a newly divorced phase and was set up in the bachelor pad where like everything's a little too expensive, but a little tacky, etc. And he was like, I want to have a big, like, beautiful family Christmas. But he didn't know what he was doing. And so he sprang for a huge and like beautiful Christmas ham. And nothing else.
I love that.
Like, there was nothing. Like, there was nothing. There's no other food. There was just this
just
ham.
Just ham.
There was ham.
Just ham.
A meal to me.
Giant stockings of like candy that he'd given us. There was that. So you had like chocolate and like that as a side.
Oh, fuck.
And then he'd gotten into red wine that year.
Oh, and
everyone does.
Just bottles and bottles of the heaviest reds you can possibly imagine.
At what point did someone throw up?
I almost did.
But it
highlight for me, like, ham is a desiccant for your entire body. You're like, ooh, this ham, it's so delicious. No, that is salt. That is salt, my lovelies. The flavor of ham is salt. And like, as you're like chowing down on the ham, your entire insides just going like.
This was everyone's intestines. Love it. That day.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I feel like my IBS kicked off just hearing about this.
when we drove to my parents' house, the first thing that happened was like, I'm just like, do you have bag salad this was not a job for soup. This was, I needed leaves. I needed roughage. I was like, I need salad and I need water right now.
Stat. No salad. Sorry, you said soup only. This is going to be soup. Gareth writes in, hey, Waypoint crew, which do you prefer, competitive games or cooperative games?
I want to tell you, I mean, obviously, I answer first for all of these just because I love to talk. I'm sorry. I love talking. But yes, it's cooperative games only. I think about Among Us every day and how much I wish I could play Among Us. But then I think about the act of lying to my friends and I get anxious. Tough. Like, I think about it and I get, because what if they think I'm actually mad at them? And what if they're not joking when they're mad at me and they're actually mad at me? Can't do it.
I think the other thing is this. Like, I think Among Us, I think, is a good game, at least because people still talk. There's still tons of interaction in that framework. Yeah. It's a rare competitive game where, like, still everyone, no matter what side they're on, has to interact and talk, and that's why it works. Mm-hmm. But I think in general, competitive games shut down conversation because at most you'll be talking to your squad.
Yeah.
But you're not going to have the experience of, like, I mean, for me, I think probably still one of my gold standards for co-op experiences was Left 4 Dead. And that is because partly it was a haunted house experience that you're going through with your friends where it's like, ooh, what was that? Did you hear that? I wonder what the director is going to do next. But I think the big part of it was, it was just low intensity enough that you could kind of shoot the shit while you're going through the levels. Yeah. And then when it intensified, you get that cool, like, team focused, like, calling out shots, orders, etc.
Yeah.
And it, like, would flow between those two states. And that's, I think, what we kind of want from, that's what I want from, like, playing with friends.
If I could play a competitive game with my friends on my team, it feels like a cooperative game.
Yeah, nice. I think playing Valorant or Apex or something is nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my favorite type of games in the world really are the, like, detective Sherlock Holmes consulting detective, like, that style of, like, conversation based co-op board games. And I wish that those would come to PC in some way. I wish we would get, like, a renaissance of interactive mystery co-op games,
like a Sherlock Holmes the board game, but done in the style of Papers, Please, where you have a desk with a whole bunch of papers and you have to open up maps and shit. Yeah. That would rock.
That'd be good. Anyway, Patrick, competitive co-op, solo. Patrick's a loner, lone wolf, wolf.
Yeah. I mean, like, I
he scoops the wolf now.
Yeah. I long think about the PUBG arc we had was incredibly fun. I like being in groups in giant battle royale type games with friends. Yeah. Like, that is having the anonymity in, but, like, having a little squad, like, while chaos, you know, even Fortnite, which is a game that I didn't particularly end up, like, liking but respecting, like, that was still fun to, like, do that as a group, even as we ate shit over and over.
Yeah.
That sounds nice.
Rob, I saw you again with the highlighter.
Davio asks, what's your favorite game with the worst ending, i.e. biggest goodness of game to shittiness of ending split? We already talked about Mass Effect. I have no dog in that fight, but I think that's your sort of famous one.
Bioshock, I think, comes up a lot, right?
Ooh, yeah.
That's another
one. Bioshock Infinite was one where there's a exact moment where I remember my friend while I was playing it, my friend Dylan, shout out to Dylan Reed, turned to look at me and was just like, I'm gonna pray that didn't happen. And then, like, the rest of the game after that was horseshit.
God, what else?
Was
what
it
else
the Daisy Fitzroy thing where
yeah,
she, like,
it was literally the Daisy Fitzroy thing. Okay. Not just that, but the conversation they have where they're like, well, it seems like these two sides are pretty much the same.
Yep. No, you know what, though? That is a great way of handling that, being like, well, the creators fucked up here, and I still want to play this game because I'm enjoying it, so didn't happen.
Yeah, just exercise that memory from my brain real quick.
Problem is, the rest of the game is kind of along those lines.
Unfortunately, it keeps doubling down, and you cannot just do that. Yeah, you cannot just do it with that game. God, is there another one that I feel like that's the case for? Is there another game where I'm like, well, this kind of ended?
What
I've
about
been looking,
like
all... Go ahead.
No, I was just thinking about, like, I remember games maybe didn't hate the ending, but the last boss fight is just, like, such a fucking slog.
Yeah.
That it makes me not want to finish it. Honestly, mm-hmm. Persona 3 is a beautiful boss and a very well-designed final boss fight, but, like, the thing that happens at the end where all your friends give you your energy, like a spirit bomb, and you can defeat the boss is great, but it is, like, a boss that's full of fucking one-hit KOs. It is so fucking frustrating.
Yeah.
I, like, have spent a very long time playing that, like, once a month, and then being so angry I couldn't pick it up again.
See, I think that's more likely in video games to have, like, shitty final bosses as opposed to, like, shitty, like, ending. Right, like, even in Mass Effect, like, one, like, a game I like a lot, like, you fight a giant baby at the end.
Yeah.
That's Mass Effect 2. Like, that's Mass Effect 2.
Is that 2? No, is that 2?
Yeah. That's 2.
Do you go into
the game? Mass Effect 1 has the dopest ending shit, where you fight Saren, you can talk him down, and also you have the thing where you can where you're running along the side of the Citadel as Sovereign is at the very end of it. And that shit fucking slaps. The end of Mass Effect 1, all-time good ending to a game. Arkham Asylum is mine because that Joker fight that sucks. And then the ending is like nothing after that. And I remember just being like really deflated after loving that whole game.
Is that like Big Monster Joker?
Yeah, it's Big Monster Joker. Anyway. Rob, sorry. Do you want to sneak your answer in, or are you good with the hot take rules cutting you off?
No, cut me off.
Cut you off. Okay. Kato, do you want to hit this one?
Yeah. Mia writes in, why is Paimon Genshin Impact the best character of the year?
Portable food, right? Emergency food. Emergency food. She's great. Paimon's great. Paimon's fantastic. She's super funny. All the expansion writing in that game has been really good, and she's continued to be really funny. I get why people are graded by that type of character. I think she's an exceptional version of that type of character.
She's
shout out to the team.
Only version of that kind of anime mascot character that I can stand because it is self-aware. But that
it's
doesn't
totally
mean I like her.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like,
uh-huh. Yeah.
I'm like, I tolerate you. Congratulations.
Congrats. That's you've made it. She's good.
It's like the not cat in Madoka.
Yeah.
Sure. Who wants to read Pete's question?
Pizza flavored goldfish. Oh, go ahead. From Pete. Pizza flavored goldfish are the best flavor of goldfish crackers. Is that a question? You're just correct. You've just stated a fact. Thank you.
I've not had anything but just like standard ass goldfish.
I had flavor blasted
wider pantheon.
I had flavor blasted cheddar like last month, and I hated them. They're just too much. My hands got all dusty. I don't like my hands getting dusty from food.
I feel like the dust.
Honestly, pizza flavor goldfish are just regular goldfish with oregano.
Oh,
and it's good. Huh. Like oregano tastes good, and cheddar cheese is good.
And cheddar cheese is good.
That's it. That's all you need.
I like
what
goldfish.
Are the other flavors?
There's a lot.
Pretzel.
White cheddar.
You ever had like pretzel ones? Yeah,
pretzel.
White cheddar.
That's fake. That's real. That's not a real. Fake, you know.
Yeah.
Goldfish flavors. Let's go down the list. Let's see here. Cheddar cheese, Parmesan cheese, pretzel, pizza. These are the flavors that exist. There's a bunch.
Red
of them.
Parmesan, many, like you were expecting.
This is less than I thought.
The next word to not be cheese.
Baby.
Cheese. Parmesan. Me? Baby. That's the name. Flavor. That's my rap name. Mixtape coming out next month. Here's SoundCloud.
There are the flavor blasted extreme pizza or something. Explosive pizza. Queso fiesta. Smoking barbecue.
Explosive pizza.
Explosive.
Two words I love together.
Yeah. Is that the pizza that they sell?
Explosive.
At those
pizza.
Porn videos. Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right.
It's too early.
Nacho. It's too early. It's too early. Let me come back over here. I have a real clean answer for this one from Max. Max says, quick, what's the single most disappointing, not worst, game you had to cover in your careers that is codenamed Steam for the Nintendo 3DS?
Very specific answer.
Uh-huh. A Nintendo published kind of behind the back tactics, kind of like Nintendo's take on Valkyria Chronicles, in a steampunk world featuring a bunch of like American, like heroes, you know, like Lincoln is in this game, and you
Paul
have to
Bunyan.
Save. I guess you have to save Queen Victoria, Paul Bunyan. Yeah, it's like big mythology type shit, you know. And that game fucking sucked. It was Intelligent Systems who like makes good games, and they were making a game in a genre where like Valkyria Chronicles 3 had never come out at that point. It's like, I can't wait to play this fucking game. I love Intelligent Systems, and that game sucked, and it was so disappointing. And my review was very low. People in GameSpot thought that I was biased.
Wow.
Quote unquote.
Two of these, I feel like.
Wow. Mine, gotta go ahead.
Because I haven't been doing this for very long. But fucking Pokemon. I really, like the last couple of Pokemon games, like they were making such good strides in the good directions before the last like two that it just really hurt when they made the jump to Switch and it wasn't good. Like it was fair. Good it only mechanically in like the like most basic way is like, oh, they made some improvements here, that there's some neat stuff there, but like they like walked back and like undid like story-wise like the kind of like progress they've made into making those games the kind of like children's media that is still good to consume as an adult, you know, which like some of the earlier DS ones definitely were.
Mine was We Are Chicago. I don't think a game let me down any harder than that. Because I had just moved from Chicago to New York. It was after the Black Lives Matter protests that were really intense in Chicago. They shut down the Dan Ryan. People were chaining themselves to the L trains and shit. And I played this game. And I actually went and found my old essay I wrote about it for Kotaku. And I remember, like, not, it didn't just disappoint me because it was, like, technically very broken and not very fun to play. it puts the onus of stopping gang violence on good kids pulling up their pants. Yep. Like, that is the message of that game. You respect your family, pull up your pants and go to college, and then you can escape the cycle of violence. And that's just not true.
It was rough. I also remember that game not being good at giving you a snapshot of people's lives outside of their relationship to violence. It was just like the things that existed were going to school and almost getting into a big fight, being shot at, and then writing a poem about being shot at, right?
Yeah. Like, it was like a more intimate version of Watch Dogs. Yeah. like portrayal of like the South Side of Chicago.
Yeah, pretty
yes,
much.
Yes. Yeah. But it's like, if you said that was a Watch Dogs story, I'd believe you.
It's a weird Chicago Watch Dogs story. Oh my God.
I'm saying what it is.
The short version for me, because I know that I couldn't come with one, but I know that No Man's Sky was incredibly disappointing, not because I thought the game was bad. It was the crushing realization that the game I'd made up in my mind was not the game that they made, and that the game wasn't for me anymore, and that sucked.
Do you mean best ongoing game 2020, No Man's Sky?
Yeah, I fucking respect and love that game. Yeah. I just don't ever want to play it, and that bummed me out.
Fair.
Yeah, please. It's kind of a tie between Rome 2 and Imperator, and that tells you a lot about me. Like, I'm still waiting for that. Give me a game that's like Julius Caesar, but with like the battles, and still waiting.
Someone want to bring Coin's question to the table?
Sure. Coin says Transistor is actually Supergiant's best game. What other developers have produced masterpieces that got out shined by their later, more popular games?
It's Pi, but you know, that's fine. To each their own.
I feel like everyone in a post Hades world is doing that. Is like, well, actually
yeah. Everyone in this podcast right now has a different favorite Supergiant game, I think.
I think we probably all have. Yeah, Pyre is mine from Supergiant. The other, it's very funny because I think I have the same feeling for another studio that puts out really, really good looking and good sounding indie games, and it's a clay game. And
I was just going to say, he's going to bring up Invisible Ink.
It's Invisible Ink. It's Invisible Ink. It's Invisible Ink. What are you talking about? It's Invisible Ink.
Speaking of Persona 3, I think it's Persona 3 for me. Persona 3 is a good answer too. Persona 4 and Persona 5, by far.
Damn, like, get them. Get them. Yeah. That's right.
And it's the last one, I think, that still has major creature and character designs from the character artist that I've been working on the Shin Megami Tensei game since its inception. Mm-hmm. So I have to appreciate it for that reason. I like that character designer so much better than the main Persona 1. They don't do the weird ombre fade thing. That's the thing I hate for the skin tones.
Yeah.
Metal Gear Solid 3 is the best Metal Gear game.
A lot of people agree with you, I think.
Feel like I hear a lot of people from Metal Gear Solid 3.
Get out of here with that weak shit, Connor.
Hotter. We demand hotter.
Metal Gear Acid 2 is the best Metal Gear.
Yeah, that's
Metal
that's
Gear
the
Ghost Babel on the Game Boy Color is the best Metal Gear game.
Fuck. That game's pretty good.
It's pretty fucking good.
What's the best Pokemon? Game.
What's the best Pokemon?
Oh, game. Fuck.
Well, not the best Pokemon.
Yeah,
best game. Pokemon. You know game. That it's Popplio.
That's right, true. Of course. It's the one with what's his name in it? Black and White,
with
I think.
N? Yeah, Black and White. Yeah. I mean, I think you're right. I don't think it's a hot take.
I dead-ass thought you were going to say an actor's name. I dead-ass thought you were like, the one with Denzel in it.
No. Jonathan Taylor Thomas in it.
The one Keanu shows up in.
I still stand by. I'm hoping this will get rectified in 2021. But Super Mario 3D World is top one or two Mario game for me, and like the entire canon. And I'm hopeful that the Switch version will give me some new acolytes to preach the good word about Super Mario 3D World.
That's fair. Let's do this next one and call it there. We've hit our. What's up?
No,
the next one is so good.
Button.
I love this new one.
This next one is very good. Rob, do you want to read this one?
Sure.
Yeah, you sounded like you loved it so much.
It's a snowy December morning, and you awake to the smell of your favorite breakfast foods cooking in the kitchen. You turn the corner, and it's your favorite video game character preparing your ideal winter feel-good meal. Uh-oh. Who's cooking what, and how did they do? This immediately reminds me of the Tom Hiddleston commercial where he's preparing that plate of random vegetables.
Oh my God,
for
yes.
a woman, that vitamin commercial.
Yeah.
And it's just a plate of strips of like vegetables with an egg on top, and it's all POV. So it's like it's like a POV porn video in some ways, where it's like
yeah.
Tom Hiddleston has made you this inscrutable breakfast. You have Tom Hiddleston in your house.
Immediately post briefly dating Taylor Swift until people clowned on him so much for dating Taylor Swift that he stopped. Also,
well, he got into some major beef right as they started up, and I think he, you know, I think he bowed out because
you can
Kim
only have
Taylor,
one dramatic one in the relationship,
too, right?
Yeah.
Okay, wait, we have to answer this question, though. Kato, start the clock over. None of us have talked about the fucking...
No, so that's not how this works.
It's Din Djarin from Fortnite. He made pancakes, and you know what? He did a pretty good job. He's a dad.
Wow.
Who is my favorite video game character?
Yeah, that's the thing.
That's the thing that none of us know. Fuck, who is my favorite
video game character? Okay, maybe not favorite. Like, when someone says, think of a video game character, who comes to your head? Like, I thought of Cloud, but that's because I watched the Video Game Awards last night. But maybe Final Fantasy VII...
Cloud.
It was a game very close
Sephiroth.
To Patrick's like child heart.
God.
I would want Cloud to be there, and it'd be fucking Sephiroth.
Sephiroth serves you a pancake at the end of the long sword. Just reaches over, falls off
and
the
he's
sword.
And he's burnt it.
He's yeah. burnt it. He burnt it 100%. The doll from Bloodborne.
But
she like pulls out the plate nice. And it's a little squid baby at the end of Bloodborne.
Yeah, so she would present, like the presentation would
hunter.
Be immaculate,
yeah.
but the food would be nightmarish Wiggling. And you wouldn't
yeah,
want to
exactly.
eat it. And you'd have to take a bite because you're like, but
she works
clear
so
she put in
hard.
So much work into this.
The garnishing.
It's Zagreus from
made
Hades.
It made you an egg scramble, but inside is a Cthulhu.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's just a small chicken fetus. Zagreus from Hades, and he simply destroyed my kitchen.
Oh, yeah. That yeah. motherfucker can't cook for shit, for sure.
I wake up and
but
the kitchen
in a lot of
is
effort.
On fire. Yes, he has. Yeah. He's tried several
he's tried
different times
so many
to cook.
Times. The garbage can is just filled with bad omelets.
I got this one. No, this one.
This is the one.
This is the one he keeps saying as he hands me burnt dish after burnt dish.
God. All right. I think that's going to do it for us today for the first of these extravaganzas, these holiday extravaganzas. I want to thank To Mellow for our holiday music. You can follow Mellow on Twitter at Mellow Makes and see his music at tomellowmakes.bandcamp.com. You find me on Twitter at Austin_Walker. How about you, Rob?
At Rob Zachney.
Gita.
At XOXO Gossipita.
Kato.
At @A_Kato_appears.
And Patrick.
At Patrick Klubik.
All right, we'll be back throughout the following days. We don't know what the schedule is yet. We don't know if we're skipping days. We don't know if we're going every day. But look forward to the rest of our holiday extravaganza as it continues. Until later, fuck capitalism. Go home. Peace.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.